Imprint Out Loud is the audio podcast of Imprint, which exists to leave a healthy mark on the church in Africa through trustworthy biblical resources and training of local church leaders.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Imprint Out Loud. My name is Tommy and I'll be your host. Imprint Out Loud is a ministry of Imprint, and Imprint exists to provide trustworthy biblical resources and training to local churches. I'll be interviewing different people on different topics as we embark on a journey growing in our walk with the Lord on this podcast. Today we have the pleasure of having Doug Van Meter with us. Welcome, Doug.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here.
Doug serves as a full-time elder at Brackenhurst Baptist Church in South Africa, in the southern part of Johannesburg. And Doug, how long have you been with Brackenhurst?
27 years.
27 years.
Yes.
Good. And how long have you been in South Africa?
30 years.
30 years. Great. Well, Doug, thanks for joining us, and we'll be discussing the Word today. Doug and I had a quick discussion yesterday about, and you mentioned that Africa is one of the fastest growing areas in the world when it comes to the church. And you shared a concern about that. What was that concern?
Yeah, so I think that there's different kinds of growth. So there's growth that's healthy growth, and there's growth that can come about by disease. You think of a tumor, it grows, but there's a disease there. And I think a lot of the so-called church growth in Africa is disconnected from the truth of the Word of God. So there's a lot of nominal Christianity, and I think it's a danger. Of course, the prosperity theology is huge. And there's no biblical gospel in that. So my concern is, yeah, we have multiplication of churches, so-called churches, but are they grounded in the Word of God? Are they really churches?
Yeah. So they're not built on the Word,
right,
which makes that parable of building on the sand much so.
Yeah.
And maybe that leads into our first question that I have for you is, what should be our convictions or concerning the Word of God in the life of a local church?
Yeah, so I think that, the Bible teaches that Scripture is to be our final authority for all that we believe and do. And secondly, and intimately connected to that, is the conviction about the sufficiency of Scripture, that it is sufficient for all we need that pertains to life and godliness. And a local church has to have that conviction if it's going to be a healthy church.
Yeah, yeah. So you would say that, talking about sufficiency of Scripture, that we don't need any special revelation other than the Bible pertaining spiritual truths.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it. So God has revealed to us all that we need in the Word to know about Him.
Yeah.
Not that it's exhaustive. So, you know, in eternity we'll be learning new truths about God.
Yeah.
But the Word of God is sufficient for all we need to know about God. It is, at this point, it's sufficient for salvation.
Mm-hmm.
It's sufficient for spiritual growth. It's sufficient, therefore, for sanctification.
Yeah.
And we don't need additional revelation.
And hence what you said earlier about the prosperity gospel, because they claim that they have a special revelation about illnesses or prosperity.
Right.
That they want to reveal to people. And the people can't get that except through whoever the prophet is.
Right.
Yeah. How practically can we, as a church, live under the authority of the Word? So if you split the sufficiency and the authority of the Word.
I think, first of all, there has to be the teaching about the authority of God's Word. And the best way to do that is to teach God's authoritative Word.
Okay.
So as the leadership of the church is grounding the church through an expositional ministry, expositing the Scriptures, explaining it, teaching it, people are coming to experience the authority of God's Word.
Yeah.
But we must teach that, but we must practically apply that in every area as well. Mm. So we can't say we believe in the authority of Scripture, but then we question the sufficiency of the gospel. We can't say we believe in the authority of God's Word, but we refuse to obey and to submit ourselves to its authority.
Yeah.
So just for instance, If we say we believe in the authority of God's word, how can we therefore ignore what the Bible teaches about discipleship? How can we ignore what the Bible teaches about church discipline? Mm. How can we ignore what it teaches about the ordinances and all those things? Mm. So I think the best way to equip people about the authority of God's word is to treat it like it's authoritative. Mm. And that's going to have a huge impact on every aspect of ministry.
Yeah.
I think beginning in the pulpit.
Yeah.
And so I think you teach the word of God authoritatively. It has its own authority.
Yeah.
And so it's our duty as pastors, preachers, and teachers to discern what does God mean by this.
Yeah.
Teach that to the church, and it carries its own authority.
Yeah. So you would say 2 Timothy 3:10-16, that it's breathed out by God, and then he lists all these things for reproof, for teaching, for so you as a pastor exposes the scriptures as the authority, and you help the congregation to apply it to their lives practically in how they should live their daily lives, in correcting each other or training each other in righteousness.
Right. So in that passage, in 2 Timothy 3:15, he says to Timothy, from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which of course were the Old Testament scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Salvation, not just justification, but sanctification and ultimate glorification. And then he says, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for these things, teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Warren Wiersbe, I remember reading years ago, he said that the word of God is sufficient to, authoritative and sufficient to teach us what is right, what is not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. I think that's a great way to put it.
Yeah. And you would explain sanctification in those words, that it's a process of becoming more like Christ.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And God's word is essential for that, because Jesus in his high priestly prayer, he said, Father, sanctify them through your truth. Mm. Your word is truth. So he defines for us that the word of God sanctifies us, and within that you have the authority and the sufficiency of scripture.
Yeah. Yeah. I just did a video on our YouTube channel about with regards to discipling, and I just made the comment that if we're not in the word, we won't be able to, or we won't be equipped to disciple. Would you say that's the same thing as living out your Christian life, as the word is central, not just in the pulpit, but in our individual lives as well, as church members, to live our lives? If we look for answers, that we have problems in life, or marital problems, or problems with the kids, or with another member of the church, that's where we need to run to.
Yeah, I mean, if a professing Christian has to dust off his Bible every Sunday morning, then it's pretty good chance he's not taking seriously the authority and the sufficiency of Scripture during the week.
Hmm. Yeah. Now, saying that, we should build the church on the Word of God. That's what you just said. What should this look like practically in the local church? Again, the preaching, you've mentioned the preaching. What other ways?
So I think every aspect of the church has to come back to, what does God's word say about this? Mm-hmm. Or as I like to say, what does the text say? Mm. So what does the text of God's word say about this matter or this matter? So when you're dealing with counseling, you're not grabbing the latest pop psychology book. Mm. You're what does Scripture say about this? Mm. And it's not that psychology may not have some insights, but they don't have the authority.
Yeah,
the authoritative answers. So you're looking to God's word for that. And again, I can't overemphasize this, that I really think that the pulpit is key there, that you're teaching by example. Mm. You're saying to people, this is what God's word says, and it carries its own authority. It builds people up. It gives them confidence in the word. Mm. And so what should happen is, by the ministry of the word, whatever form that takes in the church, is the congregation goes away saying, hey, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I see that. And that gives them confidence. They too can go to the word of God, and they can study it, and they can apply it to their lives.
Mm. I'm just reminded of Colossians 3:16, where it again, another aspect, I mean, the pulpit is central, But again, it says that we need to sing hymns and spiritual songs, and we need to pray scripture, Paul says as well. So the whole aspect of worship is bound in the word. So it's the preaching, the singing, the praying, all of that is surrounded by the word. So practically, would you say in the church then, as a whole, we preach the word, we pray the word, we sing the word, and then we see the word, ordinances, or baptism,
Because if you're not careful, you undermine the teaching ministry, for instance, with singing. So if you sing songs that are not biblical, if you sing songs that actually contradict the truth of God's word, you're undermining what you're preaching. It's amazing how you can get away with singing heresy easier than preaching heresy. And so I think that even, you know, that's where I think it's the elder's responsibility, what's being sung in corporate worship.
Yeah.
Because we're responsible for teaching truth in all aspects.
Just on a practical note again, can you share from your own experience in Brackenhurst Baptist Church, just how these convictions and efforts have shaped Brackenhurst and the ministry for 25 years now?
Yeah, so I've often said that I had a pretty easy job when I came here 27 years ago, because this church at that point had 20 years, 15 years already of being grounded in the authority of Scripture. So this church was really grounded from its foundation that God's Word is God's Word. It's inerrant and it's infallible. And so it made my job very easy. I could just come in and teach the Word of God. And we've undergone a lot of reformation over the last 27 years. But it was somewhat easy because the congregation knew God's Word is authoritative. So I could simply teach it. We could, as a congregation, say, what does the text say? What does God expect of us? What does He expect us to believe about this? What does He expect for us to do in the church because of this? So my experience has been rather easy because there is such a good foundation in the church of believing in the authority and the sufficiency of Scripture. Church planters, they have to lay that foundation. And reforming churches, sometimes you go to a church that's got a pretty weak foundation. That's a tougher job to now get the church to see that God, you take God's word seriously. That it is His inspired word. So for us, our reformation has come not without some pain, but it's come fairly easy because, you know, the founding pastors did a wonderful job of grounding the church in the authority of Scripture.
Two separate questions leading from this question. One question that would answer some questions from a membership point of view, and another question answering a question from a young, new, upcoming, or a pastor that's just starting off. So let's start with a membership question. What would you advise someone that find themselves in a church that does not view the word as sufficient or authoritative? What answer would you give them?
So somebody once asked Spurgeon about defending the Bible, and he says he doesn't defend it. He said it's like a lion, and the lion doesn't have to be defended; just let it out of its cage. And I think that the same is true with Scripture. You take the sword of the Spirit and you wield it. So if people don't believe that the sword cuts, the best way to do is to cut them with the sword, not literally. But I think as you simply say, you go to the church, you go to the pulpit, and you begin to teach God's word verse by verse. As you teach the word of God expositionally, again, the Bible is self-authenticating. And so I don't have to persuade anybody. I have to be persuasive from the standpoint of knowing what I'm talking about. And taking seriously what the word meant to the original author and the original audience and explaining that. But as you do that, it's amazing how people catch on and they submit to that authority.
And as you know Scripture will back Scripture up by using, this is what the prophet said, and it's Jesus saying it again. So you're kind of interpreting Scripture with Scripture and backing it up with the authority of Scripture.
The Reformers talked about the analogy of faith, and that's exactly what they meant, was you're proving Scripture by Scripture. And that's why I love biblical theology, because it really just, you see this pattern all the way through Scripture. Yeah. It's building, but there's this common theme, common metaphors all the way through. And so I think as you show people that, they end up saying, I can see this. And they have great confidence in God's Word.
Yeah.
And then plus, I think by the example, he's saying, because God's Word says this, this is what we need to do as a congregation. And as you do that, what is that? That's faith. You know, what is faith? But it's acting upon God's Word because you trust His character.
Yeah.
And so as you do that, people see that lived out. They develop their own conviction. And it does snowball over time.
So would you say that's almost the same similar answer that you would give a member in a church that their leadership's not following what we've just talked about? Yeah. In using the Scripture, in maybe find a different church, but also maybe trying to show them, listen here, guys, we need to hold you accountable to the Scriptures.
Look, if it's a church that's just completely off the rails, you probably want to get out before you go down with the sinking ship.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of churches, you have pastors who just actually haven't been trained well, and they don't understand the sufficiency of Scripture. They don't understand the authority of Scripture. They don't understand expositional ministry. And so I think the charitable thing is to come alongside and you know, in a right spirit, say, look, can we talk about the ministry of the Word? Because I don't feel like I'm being fed.
Yeah.
And every pastor has heard that. Sometimes it's just an excuse.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's some truth to it. So I don't feel like I'm being fed God's Word. And maybe if they're open to that, you can share with them, you know, some good literature that can help them. What you don't want to do is go in and then say to them, hey, here's an MP3 of my favorite preacher. You should listen to this and do this.
Like he does.
But I'm persuaded in my experience that there are people, pastors all around the world who love God. They love the gospel. But they've not been trained well. And they simply need some encouragement and some guidance. And I know men like that, and their lives have been transformed, their ministries have been transformed, as they got back to Scripture. And preached it expositionally.
Great. Well, that is all that we have time for. Doug, thank you for your wisdom, and we're looking forward to talking some more about this. Remember to click on the subscribe button. You can also find us on Facebook at Imprint On or our website, imprinton.org. I'm signing off. Till next time, take action, read, and learn.
Help further the work of Imprint by sharing this podcast with someone who might benefit from it, or by rating and reviewing it in your favorite podcast catcher. Visit imprinton.org for more resources and information about the ministry.